Hello and welcome to Ordinary Christians Season 2. I'm Derek Bukema and I'm here with Ron Sitlau and Bob Bauer. Can we start over again? Is it right if we start over again?
That was really well done.
Thank you. I'm a professional.
So are we recording? Yeah, we're recording, guys. We'll keep going.
All right, you want to keep going? All right, well, Welcome to Season 2. It's Derek and Ron and Bob. We want to talk to you in this episode about Reformed Christianity and some of the divisions that are taking place within it and how that is specifically affecting and impacting the two men that I'm here recording with. Now, at the outset of our time together, I want to give you a little picture of the universe in which the three of us inhabit, especially for those of you who are listening in who don't know about Reformed Christianity. So some ordinary Christians exist within denominations, and Ron and Bob and I exist within denominations. Ron and Bob are both a part of the Reformed Church in America, which is known as the RCA. I'm a part of the Christian Reformed Church in North America, which is known as the CRC. The Reformed Church in America, the RCA, and the Christian Reformed Church, the CRC, they both come from a common heritage, the Dutch Reformed tradition, as it emerged within the Netherlands. We had a split about, 150 years ago because the RCA were all sorts of unbiblical folks that didn't want to send their kids to Christian schools and all that kind of stuff. And we
just wanted to speak English.
We wanted to speak English.
It's true. It's true. The CRC wanted to speak Dutch for far, far too long. And the RCA
Kleine
has always
beetje.
Been more missional. And they wanted to speak English given that we were in the United States. So there was this split. But we are very, very close cousins, very, very close siblings within the experience of Christ's church. And it's one of the reasons that I appreciate and love Bob and Ron so much, because we are a part of different denominations, but the same tradition. And I think that they are two wonderful expressions of that particular tradition. Recently, there's been a great deal of discord and rockiness that has existed within the RCA. There's been a lot of disagreements at their synod, which is the annual meeting of the representatives of that denomination, and that has led to some churches planning on exiting. And so, with that background, that history, I'm wondering, Ron and Bob, if you can tell me about what has happened a little bit more specifically and how your churches are responding to it. Bob, would you begin?
Well, I think because I'm older, I'm beginning. Because actually, I was born baptized as an infant in the Reformed Church of America. My dad is a Reformed Church pastor who died a few years ago. I made profession my faith in Jesus Christ in the Reformed Church. I was married in the Reformed Church. And I've been a pastor in the Reformed Church now for 34 years. And so obviously, this is a long history. And for all of those years, there, when I began the ministry, there was segments of hyper-progressive theology or liberal theology in the Reformed Church from the get-go of my full-time ministry. But it was pockets, and it wasn't overwhelming. I would say that the Orthodox view had the majority. But in the last several years, the progressives have increased to the point where they have stated they would like the RCA to become progressive completely. And from my perspective, biblically, unorthodox in terms of what God's word says and God's authority over our lives. And so for Faith Church, for Calvary that Ron's at, and myself, we're dear friends, it's been, honestly, we've defended the faith, as the book of Jude speaks of. You got to defend the faith. We've been doing that for many years, vocally, not angrily, with a lot of grace, for many years, trying to seek if we can feel at home. But the truth is, for me, the Reformed Church no longer felt like home. I just couldn't be alive in God's word with the confidence that the denomination I'm part of would affirm that if the historic Orthodox faith. Is that a fair enough background, Ron? What pieces did I miss?
Yeah, you're absolutely right. The way I frame it is that the RCA is largely conservative. And by that, we mean the way that we understand the scriptures. And so We think that the authors of the scriptures of the books are the best interpreters of those books, and our aim ought to be to find out what they're trying to say, and then that that's inspired in a narrative. And that is the way that we interpret the Bible. Our liberal friends they love the Bible, they say, but they don't take the text as its own authority, and they're willing to bring in all kinds of others' authorities to make their own case. And the example that we're living in is really around the legitimacy of gay marriage, gay ordination, and how do we live in that? And so that's the example, but it is not the cause. But I want to read just one thing that will give you a sense of our denomination and its madness at this moment.
That'd be great.
One of our seminaries, Western Seminary, took a pause in ordaining openly gay seminary students who are in active relationships until the Senate had made a decision of where it stood. And so in the midst of doing that, a group of people, the RCA Queer Student Initiative, wrote a letter to the whole denomination and to the seminary and said that that one move, that pause, was it caused tremendous emotional, psychological, and spiritual abuse to these students who have been chosen by God to ordain ministry. And so we have moved away from how will we read scripture, how will we interpret the word of God and be on mission together, to your side are abusing people and you're dangerous. And it's untenable to live in such a world where upside down is up and up is upside down. And the RCA has lost its way.
I want to say this, Derek.
That's one of the things that you're seeing more and more, is that people will say that a biblical position causes harm and therefore should be resolutely opposed. But Ron, would you say what you were going to be saying?
Oh, just that the gospel is so clear. The good news is good news for sexual sinners. I am one. And I don't want to live in a gospel that blesses my sexual brokenness. I want a gospel that transforms it. And that's what we're fighting for. And that's what we're going to stand behind.
Here, can I go further a little bit?
Please do, Bob.
I think it's not just the human sexuality issue. Ron and I agree. We've discovered that it has to do with the person of Jesus Christ, the gospel, what salvation is. And the scripture that really was the most significant scripture for Bob Bauer in this whole situation around denomination was in Jude. Beloved, although I'm very eager to write to you about our common salvation, I found it necessary to write appealing to you to contend for the faith that was once for all delivered to you to the saints, for certain people have crept in unnoticed who long ago were designated for this condemnation, ungodly people who pervert the grace of our God into sensuality, deny our only master and Lord Jesus Christ. And I could have easily just, I'm 59 years old, I could have easily just cruised to the end, kind of just go into retirement and not have to contend for the faith until the Lord said, no, Bob, as long as you're breathing, you contend for the faith. Now, what does that lead to, Derek? The question would be, what you asked us, how does it end up for Faith Church in Calvary, for example, two churches? Well, there's a little under 1,000 churches in the RCA, probably somewhat similar to the CRC. And we lost Derek. Uh-oh. But Ron, should we just keep talking?
Yeah.
All right, we'll keep talking. So Ron, for us, it meant you and I we begin with our church boards and both our elder boards and deacon board and the consistory, which is the main body, have discussed it, wrestled it for a long time. In our case at Faith, our consistory voted unanimously to leave the Reformed Church in America.
Yeah, the same with us. And we actually had our congregational vote a few weeks ago, and overwhelmingly There is a desire to leave the Reformed Church in America and into a new thing. There's just a sense that, you know, we are friends, Bob, and some of the churches that we are connected with. There's a sense that not only are the sad sense of moving away, but I have so much excitement about being part of a new thing in which we're not fighting over values anymore. We're just agreed because we grew in the same soil of Jesus Christ is preeminent. The gospel is the most important. Marriage is something to be celebrated and secured through discipleship. And I'm excited for that. I'm excited to see what the Lord is going to do.
Yep. And I think there's a sense in which the other side is going to be set free too from us because we're contending for the faith. And every time we're with them, they're upset. And for us, we're wasting a ton of gospel time infighting, defending the scriptures, where you and I are part of ministries and others that are leaving, that our whole intention is to continue to minister for those who are sexually broken, including you and me. And yeah, with grace and truth and love, I mean, it could be, you know, a transgender person, a person struggling with sexual identity, all that kind of, welcome to our churches, but we're going to tell them about the transforming power of Jesus Christ that forgave me all of my sin.
Yeah. 20 years ago, you know, I was dealing with homosexuality and I was in active relationships. And when I was at the bottom of my existence, Jesus Christ found me, and I got into a healthy enough church that didn't condemn me, that didn't throw me out, but they brought me to Jesus. And Jesus, over time, brought great freedom to me and transformation. And I'm willing to die as a follower of Jesus for that ground, as how dare any of us say that we're not going to give that good news anymore. We're going to just, you know, embrace the culture of the day. And so I agree with you 100%.
I think we're going to be excited to be free to be church planting, church multiplication, disciple reproducing with a new energy. I think we're going to have a tremendous opportunity to address all the issues that we face without that constant, honestly, liberal push. Now, Ron, you and I should also talk about other institutions within our denomination. For example, you and I actually have been really impressed with some of the moves our seminary, there's two seminaries, New Brunswick and Western. New Brunswick, quite frankly, does not align at all with what we're talking about. They're a very liberal seminary. Now, Western, where I went and you went as well, you know, I had liberal professors, you did, but in recent, I am very impressed with the President Felix and some of the great moves they're making, because historically there were some signs that they were going to become progressive, but you know, I'm proud of Western right now. I hope they continue, the seminary continues to return to the Orthodox understanding of God's scripture.
Yeah, I just think the hiring of Wesley Hill, Wim Collier, both, not only are they Orthodox, they're experts in their field and some of the best minds today. You know, I don't agree with everything that Wesley Hill says.
Right.
There's not many people in whom can articulate the good news of the gospel as well as he can. And, you know, Wim Collier is a master of, you know, the world of Eugene Peterson. And so not only are they moving in the right direction, they're adding excellence. And they're going to be if they keep moving this way, they're going to be one of the most sought after evangelical institutions in the United States.
Yep,
and so Felix is making moves and he's doing it boldly. And I just, man, I'm so proud.
Derek, yeah, I think for ordinary, first of all, Derek, welcome back. We missed you.
Thanks very much. I thought you were raptured, and then I remembered you didn't believe in the rapture, and so I didn't know what was going on.
But Derek, here's a question. So we make sure you know that we talked about We talked about some of the issues related to what why we are leaving the denomination. But I think the other thing I want to bring in is that ordinary Christians include the Christian Reformed Church. And my outside observation is that the Christian Reformed Church is rapidly becoming more and more progressive before our eyes. And it concerns me as well for you.
Yeah, I want to say one thing before you say anything. Yeah. I want to put you in a corner.
That's right.
We had a meeting with the leaders of the CRC, and you know, we were open to joining. And I have to say, you know, I think I forgot the guy, your president's name.
Colin
Watson. I think he's a great guy. He seems to be a a man of faith and among the angels. But the staff there, I mean, it was RCA 2.0. Same kind of liberal, we don't share what we really believe, and we only care about our book of church order. And
Ron, you were brilliant. Jarek, Ron literally looked at the Zoom of all the staff that were represented in the CRC, and Ron asked, excuse me, can I ask each one of you, where do you stand on what is marriage? Do you hold to the Orthodox understanding of marriage? And it was the most awkward next 10 minutes because they all danced around and basically said, we're not going to answer. They all kept saying, well, we're on a new journey. And you know what that journey is? It journeys away from the Word of God.
Okay, right. Now you can start.
Now, Derek, Derek, set us up.
Yeah, well, I'm not sure what to tell you. I think that you've just said everything that that can be said about that particular thing. I think that the difficulty is that there are a lot of people who... I think that what you shared in Jude is exactly right, obviously, because it's the Word of God, and it's inspired by the Holy Spirit. But we need to contend for the faith that's been once delivered to all the saints. I think that the difficulty is that a lot of people get into this position where they say, all right, we have this Reformed denomination. That means we're all a part of the same Reformed denomination. We all believe the same sorts of things. And there might be a whole wide swath of people that do believe that which is true and biblical, but there's not a contending for that. There's an assuming that we're biblical. And what happens whenever you assume anything and you stop contending is that you lose that thing that you were once contending for. And so I think that within the course of the last, within the last 60 years, there's been a loss of contending for that which is true and an assuming that the institutions that we have built will maintain what they were intended to maintain. But that has not proven to be the case, very sadly. And there's been an unwillingness to call any institutions or individuals to account for those sorts of things. And the difficulty is that's a really challenging thing to do. And one of the things that is a great negative about the Christian Reformed Church, I think even more than the RCA, is that it's such a culturally defined group of individuals. It has such a thick Dutch culture that people will really privilege that thick Dutch culture and be like, well, I knew this such and such a person's grandpa. We were roommates together at this or that institution of the Christian Reformed Church. So why wouldn't this be a fine person, even if they might disagree with these sorts of things? And what you see is that the appeal within the Christian Reformed Church is made to cultural traditionalism. Like, we can all still agree. We can all still share church mints. We can all still sing out of the Gray Psalter hymnal. There are these culturally traditionalist appeals that are made. And because we are a denomination that's been so ethnically defined, they work, they're effective. And people are like, oh, well, these cultural trappings are still present, so that must mean that we're okay. And the cultural trappings of the Christian Reformed Church are not the gospel, are not in fact helpful, are not the things that are worth fighting for, but they're the things that will oftentimes hold us together, and that's been the case for a long time. And so there hasn't been a contention for the right sorts of things. There's been an assumption that the institutions that we create will preserve orthodoxy and not undermine it. And that set of assumptions has been extraordinarily unhelpful for the Christian Reformed Church and has left us in a very negative place, and has left us in the place where I think that I would think that the majority of members of the Christian Reformed Church have a biblical worldview on this sort of thing, but the majority of the leadership no longer does. And that is what is heartbreaking.
I think we should rapid fire some thoughts about ordinary Christians. Cause like a lot of people are listening to this are going like, denominations are gone. They're stupid. Why even be a part of them? Some people are kind of going like, well, as an ordinary Christian, it doesn't really affect me. Why don't we just stay in the denomination? It doesn't really affect me. Let's just rapid fire some of those thoughts. Like, I'll give you one example. I do think there's been a cultural shift in understanding the denominationalism. I think the future is going to be more network. It may be a denomination on its letter of the law, but I think the future is more of a network approach to being together in a brotherhood and sisterhood of Christians and churches together, not strict. Here's the guidelines. Here's the rules of engagement. I could be wrong, but I just think a sense of culture saying denominationalism may be heading out.
Yeah, I think that there's good in our tradition. For example, we have a high value of if we implemented of being accountable one to another as pastors, of training our pastors into excellence. And I think that's something that we want to take with us. I agree with Bob that I was reading John Calvin this morning, and he said, the form of worship, the psalms you sing when you have your service, none of these things matter. And we have built a whole ship on those things. And you know what? New things aren't bad. They happen when the old things no longer serve the purpose in which they were created. And, the RCA, if I'm understanding, a few hundred churches are going to say this old thing no longer works in the next year. And there is going to be a reckoning.
A pruning.
And I hope that God has mercy and that they repent. But if not, it will be a dead thing.
Yep.
I also think that one of the things that I have always loved about the Reformed tradition are our confessions. And one of the things that our confessions say is that a false church gives more authority to itself, its pronouncements, and its determinations than to the Word of God. And one of the tragic things in all of this is that the appeal is to the Book of Church Order, the appeal is to our pronouncements, and what's happening is that there is greater authority placed in the determinations of the church or the mode in which the church is speaking than the Word of God. And that is heartbreaking. And the whole point of the Reformation was to prevent against this sort of thing. But we're seeing that very thing taking place in our midst, that there is a preferencing of our shared determinations or our Book of Church Order over what it is that the Scripture says. And that is a devastating reality.
That's, Derek, that's really good. Ron and I have been in meetings where the Book of Church Order trumped Scripture.
I mean, it's the most lamenting things I've ever seen when I'm part of those things. You're just 100% right. Hey, Derek, you brought us in. You take us out.
Come on, bro.
All right. That sounds good. Well, this has been Ordinary Christians. It's been interesting. It's been fascinating talking to you guys. And I think that this has been a call to prayer as well. And so, Bob, I'm wondering if you would just end by praying for us here.
I would love to. Father in heaven, ordinary Christians are all of us. We have been saved by the grace of you through faith in Christ, the one who came, who died, rose again, and is now reigning victoriously over the church, and you are the head of the church, Jesus Christ. The gates of hell will not prevail against. Lord, I pray for the Christian Reformed Church of America, the Reformed Church of America, and I pray for the churches in Reformed Church America that are exiting. And Father, the three of us are one in by the power of the Holy Spirit, praying in the name of Jesus, for the most important thing, your glory, but also revival. Could it be that a denomination like the Christian Reformed Church could be renewed and revived? But that starts, Lord, with repentance. There's going to need repentance. And the Reformed Church America needs repentance. All of us need to repent and fall at your knees, Jesus. Seek your face. God, our closing part of this prayer is to pray for a revival, renewal, in the Church of Jesus Christ, in the Christian Reformed, in all denominations, Christians around the world. Love you because you first loved us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. May God bless and sustain whatever's new for you guys coming out of this. And may God bring renewal and restoration in the denominations of which we are a part right now. Thanks for joining us. Those ordinary Christians, God bless you.